And I will rise and stay awake. And I'm going to be mightily blessed. Let's give a big warm welcome to Stephen. Stephen, we love you. Thank you. Bless you, brother. Thank you,
Stephen. You ready to worship God for some more time? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your mighty name, Jesus. I'm just managing here. Can I just put it here? This one. Okay. Okay, let's just worship God. Come on. Everyone. Hallelujah. Just open your mouth, begin to worship God. Go rabba santa rabba karabaraba. This afternoon is only about the Spirit of God and what He wants to do in us. I believe the river is here already. God wants to come through for us. Hallelujah. Nobody can touch us like God will touch us. Nobody can speak to us like God would speak to us. Hallelujah. The Bible says He sent His word and He healed our diseases. Hallelujah. The Bible says that word that comes from His mouth, it does not return unto Him void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. The word of the Lord is about a destiny. The word of the Lord is about positioning us. The word of the Lord is about releasing us into the call and purpose of God. And that's what He's going to do tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just open your mouth. Just begin to worship God. Let the river of God flow. Hallelujah. Come and press into the presence of God. We're going to sing for some time. We're going to worship God for some time. Hallelujah. We want God to be Himself. We want the move of God. We want the new thing that He wants to do in us this afternoon. We want to reach out and touch Him. He wants to reach out and touch us. He wants to come through for us. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says He does a new thing. Hallelujah. Yesterday is past, but today it's going to be new. Hallelujah. It's going to be a fresh wave of His glory, a fresh release of His anointing. Hallelujah. A fresh touch of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your mighty name, God. We bless your mighty name. You alone are worthy, God. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. Worthy, God. Press into His presence. Let the Holy Spirit do what He wants in us today. Let Him have His way. Hallelujah. Let Him pour out His oil and His wine. John the Baptist said, there's one who's coming after me, whose sandals I'm unworthy to untie. But when He has come, He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what He does. He puts His Spirit upon us, that we may be turned into the very likeness of who He is. That we will walk in the power of His Spirit. That we will be what He wants us to be. That we will enter into what He has called us to be. That we will step into the plan that He has for our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just press into His presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Roko sarabararaba. Let the Lord have His way. Let the Lord have His way. Kalaba shante rana darobo shandaraba. Hallelujah. The river of God is flowing in this place. Tonight, God, this afternoon, God wants to pour out His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Hallelujah. 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 Gora namas Sunday. Rinananananananamasondoroboshirarabababababa. A God is a God of miracles. A God is a God of miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of miracles. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. He's a God of miracles. He wants to come through for you today. He wants to come through. Hallelujah. 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 He wants to come through heaven. There is an open heaven about this place. There is an open heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. 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 Dushante rana na 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 masundo. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to know the presence of God will turn every situation around. The presence of God will turn everything around. Hallelujah. He will turn your life around. He will turn things around. Hallelujah. He will bring a release. He will bring a release. He'll bring a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, from verse 11, the Bible says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Bible says, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told to King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. I tell you, my friend, when the glory of God comes upon you, it's not only about you, but it's about everything in you, with you, upon you, around you. Your home will be blessed. Your business will be blessed. The work of your hands are blessed. Everything in you will be blessed. Rabasoko raborianta rabarabaraba. Rabababababashita rabarabaraba. Hallelujah. Everything, 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 everything. God wants not only to touch you, He wants to touch everything around you. He wants to touch everything that pertains to your life. Your family. Maybe there's a situation in your home. Maybe there's a situation in your workplace. Maybe there's a challenge you're facing. Let me tell you, my friend, His presence will turn situations around. His presence will turn every challenge around. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Father, we ask for a breakthrough this afternoon, God. We ask for a breakthrough. We ask for a breakthrough, God. Oh, we ask for a breakthrough for every person. Not one of us will leave this place without a visitation of God. Not one of us, not one of us, not one of us, not one of us will leave this place empty, God. But God, we will meet with you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your mighty name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, do you know God wants to bless you? His anointing is about blessing. His anointing is about breaking the curse by giving you the blessing. When the anointing comes, every curse is broken. That's what the Bible says. The anointing breaks the yoke. Every snare of the devil, every plan of the enemy will come to nothing. Are you with me? It comes to nothing. It comes to nothing. The anointing will make every plan of the devil come to nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. It's the truth that sets us free. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's the truth that sets us free. Thank you. It's the truth that sets us free. Hallelujah. It's the truth. The Bible says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will yield its fruit in its season, and whatever he touches will prosper. Hallelujah. You and I, you must know this. When we begin to walk with God, Our life is about prosperity. It's not about just money, my friend. It's about everything. Everything. Everything in your life will begin to prosper. God will turn every situation around for your life and my life. It's the truth that sets us free. That's why today it's so important. The Bible says in Hosea 10 and verse 12, sow in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he rains righteousness upon you. Oh, I think I got the verse wrong. Let me look at it. It may be Hosea 12 and verse 10. Oh, let me look at it. No, it's correct. It's 10 and verse 12. You know, my wife, when I drive back from church, sometimes she tells me, that verse is not 16, it's 17. So I'm used to it, Pastor. Hallelujah. It's important that we know the exact address. Hosea says, sow in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness. Amen. The reason that God wants to break through deep on the inside of us is because when we open our lives, when we open ourselves completely to him, then we can be what he wants us to be. He can do whatever he wants to do in us. When he reaches out and touches us, why is that anointing so important? Why is the outpouring so important? It's because that outpouring of God, the presence of God, will turn our lives around. Changes our lives around completely. We begin to have the mind of Christ. We have a revelation of God. We begin to live by revelation. We are turned around. Our life is completely turned around. You see, the Bible says, if you read Mark chapter 5, if you read from verse 21, the Bible talks about this man called Jairus. Do you remember? The Bible says he went and fell at the feet of Jesus. And he implored him, saying, Lord, my child is about to die. If you are willing. And then the Bible says, Jesus agrees to go with him. And then the Bible says, as they begin to go to his house, you know, something happens on the way. Can somebody tell me what? The woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she comes and touches the hem of his garment. And then the Bible says, Jesus says, who touched me? The disciples say, Lord, there's a multitude around you. And then he says, no, somebody touched me. Power left me. And then, you know, he looks at this woman. She says, I'm the one who touched you. And then he says, your faith has made you whole. The miracle takes place. And while the miracle takes place, something happens in the house of Jairus. The Bible says that little child dies. In verse 35, the Bible says, some people came from the house of Jairus, and they told Jairus, they said, don't trouble the master, for your child is dead. Okay? I always do this with a little, can you come and help me? Thank you. Can I have one more? Anybody who's feeling young? One more person, can you come? Somebody, come up, yeah. Okay. Let's make this Jesus. He looks like Jesus. Okay. So the Bible says some people come from the house of Jairus. And, they look at Jesus and they look at Jairus. And they say, don't trouble the master, for the child is dead. So is that is it real? Can you really feel it when you go to the house? Yes. The child was really dead. So they told Jairus that the child was dead. And then immediately the Bible says when Jesus heard it, he looked at Jairus and he said, do not be afraid, only believe. Listen to me, Jesus never spoke to the people who came from the house. Many times we want God to speak into our situations. When we go through situations, we pray, we say, God, can't you just turn this thing around? Can't you speak to these people, God? Look at what they're telling me. Can't you deal with them? No. What did God do? He spoke to Jairus. And he said, do not be afraid, only believe. Now, what Jesus said was actually a very challenging thing for Jairus, because the child had already died. The very purpose for which Jairus went and fell at the feet of Jesus was lost. And here is a real report. You see, what is happening in our lives is real. The challenges we face, the sicknesses we have, the troubles we walk through, what we face every day in our lives, they are real. They are real things that we see every day. The pain in our back, that's real. We can feel it. If you had gone to the house of Jairus, you could have experienced it. You could have felt it. You could have felt death in that house. But I want you to know something. What's the power behind what the Bible says? What's the power behind the words that come from Jesus? Is the power to change every situation in the natural. You see, Jairus had a choice. Do I follow what is real? Do I follow what I see? Do I just go by the pain that I have? Do I just go by what situations I'm facing every day? Or do I go by what God speaks to my heart? Do I go by what God would minister to me? Which is important for me. Thank you. Thank you. The good part is, Jairus took the right choice. He held on to Jesus. He had the choice to tell Jesus, you know what, Jesus, I trusted you, but you let me down. Look at my situation. Forget it, God. I trusted you and everything is over. The very reason I came to you, it's over. Nothing good can come out of this anymore. Probably there's a lawyer's report. Probably there's a doctor's report. Probably there's a judgment passed over our lives and it's probably over. Probably it's a death situation. But my friend, I want to tell you, what God tells you is even greater than what your situation is. The Bible says Jesus went with Jairus. When he entered the house, you know, he asked the people, why are you weeping and wailing for the child? He's asleep. The Bible says they laughed and they mocked at him, thinking he was crazy. Let me tell you, many things that God tells you in the worldly sense will be crazy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, because they are spiritually discerned. Let me tell you, my friend, you and I, God calls us to walk after the Spirit of God. God calls us to be led by the Spirit of God. God calls us to walk under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, so that we are not led by the flesh, we are led by the Spirit. And then the Bible says, Jesus went into the room, he looked at the little girl, and he said, Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise. And the Bible says, she came back to life. Now let me put it this way. What happens around our life is reality. But what God tells you is the truth. What does truth do? Truth prevails over reality. What does truth do? It prevails over reality. And the Bible says you will know the truth. And what does the truth do? The truth sets you free. What is the truth doing? The truth provides a way in the impossible situation for you. Are you with me? What does truth do? Truth provides a way in the most impossible situations of our lives so that we can find a way out of it. That's what God does. That's why we need the anointing. That's why we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, because when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, God has a way. The Bible says he makes a way where there seems to be no way. He makes a way in the wilderness. He provides a way. He said, I am the way. He said, narrow is the way. There is a way. He provides a way for us when nobody can provide a way. That's the reason God wants you and me to walk under the anointing. God wants you and me to walk under the power of the Holy Spirit, because that power will provide the way that you and I need for our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God wants you and me to walk after His Spirit. God wants you and me to be led by His Spirit. God wants you and I to be walking under the mighty anointing, because the anointing of God will always lead you. The Spirit of God will lead you in the way you should go. The Bible says you will hear a voice behind you say, "This is the way, walk in it." You begin to hear God. You begin to hear what God tells you every day. You begin to hear what God is speaking to your heart. And when you begin to walk in what God tells you, there comes an entrance. Let me tell you, prophetic words, you know what makes them so powerful? It's not only the word that comes to us, but it's the word that provides situations around that will change so that that word can come into fulfillment. Can you see that? When God gives you a prophetic word, it's not only about that word. Of course, it's the word. We hold on to the word. But what happens, because of that word, situations around your life will turn around in such a way that that word can come into fulfillment in your life. That's why the prophetic is so powerful. That's why the prophetic is so powerful. Because when God ministers to you by His Spirit, when He begins to put His words in you, they are words of life. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are words of life." You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, our lives turn around completely. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 10, the Bible is talking about Samuel being selected as the first king of the nation of Israel. You know, God is not happy. He always wanted Israelites to be led by a prophet, because the prophet is always a mouthpiece. Okay? He hears God and he speaks what God tells him. So God wanted to lead the people on His own. But the people wanted a king. Why? Because the heathen nations around, they all had a king. Sometimes, you know, in our life, we want things to work like how it works for somebody else. Not realizing God has the best way. He wants to do it His way. He wants to give you the best. He wants to give us the best. So God sends Samuel the prophet to Saul. And then the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, if you read from verse 6, four things happen when the Holy Spirit comes. So Samuel looks at Saul and it says in verse 6, he says, "When the Spirit of God will come upon you, you will begin to prophesy." What's the first thing he says? He says, when the Spirit of God, let me read the whole verse. It says, when the Spirit of God will come upon you, you will begin to prophesy. You will be turned into another man. You will do as the occasion demands. Okay? So that's verse 6 and 7. But let me tell you the first thing that happens. Samuel told Saul, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will begin to prophesy. What is prophesying? You are released from the natural into the supernatural. You know what happens when the anointing comes upon you? You are released from the natural into the supernatural. From hearing the voices of people, from hearing the voices of things around you, by just the natural ear, hearing things, the input of the world always upon your ears, you are released into hearing the spiritual. You begin to hear God. You begin to hear what God has for you. You know, your ears are unplugged to hear what God has for you. Prophesying is hearing what God tells you and then speaking it. And when you begin to speak, things begin to turn around. When you begin to speak what God tells you, when things come out of your mouth, they have the power to create. You remember Jesus outside the tomb of Lazarus? Do you remember that? You see, the Bible says Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." That's all. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Rigor mortis had probably set in. He was probably, brain was frozen, blood was frozen, everything was frozen in him. But the minute Jesus said, "Lazarus," that dead ear had to hear. And for that eardrum to work, every vein, every blood vessel behind that ear, everything had to function. For it to function, the brain had to function. For the brain to function, the blood had to flow. For the blood to flow, the heart had to pump the blood. You see, everything had to fall in place because of one thing. What's that one thing? That word. He said, Lazarus, come forth. That's it. That body had to respond to the word that came from the Creator. Let me tell you, my friend, creation responds to the Creator. Are you with me? You know why revival is so powerful? You know why we believe in what we believe? Because it's what God says. Some people, when they leave the walls of the church, they think, oh, it's all nice, good to hear all that, but look at what is around. Well, Moses didn't think like that. When God looked at him, met him at the wilderness and told him to go, you know, he could have said, God, forget it. 400 years of slavery, it's not going to happen. Come on. If it was just a few weeks, and I know how it works in the palace. I've lived there 40 years. I know how the Pharaoh is. I know how they work. I know their plans. I know their everything. I know everything, God. It's not going to happen. You know, in fact, he was the wrong choice for God to send. Do you know that? Because he already knew everything about what was going to happen. He already knew all the ways, you know, Pharaoh and Egypt worked. He understood everything. And it's amazing. God looks at him and says, you go. You know why? Because all that he knew, he had to bypass it to believe the word that God spoke. God just said, just do what I say. 400 years of slavery was turned around. Can God turn Europe around? Is this 400 years? No. Can God turn Europe around? Can he use you? You see, the word has power. So what does the anointing do? The anointing, the Bible says, Samuel said, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will begin to prophesy. Let me tell you, my friend, the anointing is coming upon you because God wants to move you from the natural into the spiritual. Because God wants you to begin to speak whatever he tells you. He wants you to hear what he has to speak to you. You see, Jesus did not go by what he saw around him. In John chapter 5, the Bible says, if you read from verse 29-30, Jesus said, I do, my will is to do, my meat is to do the will of my Father in heaven. I do what I see the Father do. I speak what I hear the Father speak. That's why he told Peter, outside Caesarea Philippi, you remember? When they came to Caesarea Philippi was a very, very intelligent place. Great philosophers came out of Caesarea Philippi. Aristotle, Socrates, so many people. It's amazing, outside Caesarea Philippi, God looks at the people, Jesus looks at the people around and says, who do men say that I am? And they say, oh, some call you a prophet, some call you Elijah. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? Peter says, for thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does he say immediately? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. He's telling Peter, hey, Peter, what you're speaking is not because you're very intelligent. It's because you're walking in revelation now. My Father is beginning to reveal to you who I am. Little later, you remember, Peter goes and rebukes Jesus when he talks about being, you know, going to the cross. He says, oh God, you cannot go to the cross. You remember Jesus rebukes him, get thee behind me, Satan. And he says, you are not mindful of the things of God. What is it? He's saying your mind is not full of the right things. You see, church, why the anointing is because God transforms our mind. We begin to walk in revelation. We begin to have a revelation of God. We begin to be led by the Spirit of God. We begin to, you know, believe the right thing. Faith is, Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things unseen. Can you think for it for a moment? In a court, how does it work? Evidence. evidence of things seen. Did you see it? Yes, sir, I saw it. Did you see it with your own eyes? Yes, sir. How far were you? I was 5 feet away. I saw the man. Is he the man? Yes, I saw this man. It's the evidence. But what is faith? Faith is the substance of things unseen. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that He is. So what does the prophetic do? The prophetic releases you in the spiritual so that you begin to believe what God tells you. You begin to walk after what God tells you. You begin to walk every day. You put your life on it. You put everything on it, on what God tells you. That's why the anointing. That's why the anointing. You know why God wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit? You know why God, you know, Jesus told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem? Why? Because He wanted them to walk in revelation. He didn't want them to walk by what the Sanhedrin told them or what, you know, what happened around them in the day. He wanted them to be led by His Spirit. He wanted them to have a revelation. He wanted them to know God. He wanted them to hear God. He wanted them to be led by God. He wanted them to understand that their kingdom was a different kingdom. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Do you remember that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What is the Bible saying? It's talking about two laws. There's a law of the Spirit of life and there's a law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is the natural law that is around us. But there is another law for you and me. It's the law of the Spirit of life. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are released from the law of sin and death into the law of the Spirit of life. Are you with me? Are you able to understand that? You are released. You come under a different law. You come totally under a different law. You may have been born in India. You may have been born in Africa. You may have been born in another country. Probably you were a citizen of that country. But at some point in time, when you were moved away and you came to this nation of England, and you became a citizen of this country, the law of the country you were born in no longer operates in your life. The law of this nation is the only law that will operate in your life. My friend, are you with me? You are a British citizen. You have a British passport, right? You can travel around the world, but no law can have a hold on you because you have the law of your land upon your life. You are a citizen of Britain by birth. Whatever happens to you, your embassy is going to run behind you. They're going to watch over you. They're going to care for you. Their hands are going to be behind you. Their eyes are going to be behind you. Why? Because that you come under the law of the land of England. Are you with me? What does the Spirit of God do? When the anointing comes upon us, we are set free. The law of sin and death is broken. And we are released into the law of the Spirit of life. That is in Christ Jesus. Remember in John chapter 3, Jesus, Nicodemus walked to Jesus in the night. And he said, good teacher, what should I do to be saved? And do you remember Jesus saying, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, when the anointing comes upon you, you are released. You are released from the works of the flesh. God helps you to walk in revelation. Joel said, the last days God will pour out, Joel 2:28. God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. What will they do? They begin to prophesy. They just begin to prophesy. They begin to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, the manifestation of the Spirit is for the profit of all. What does it say? It says the manifestation of the Spirit is for the profit of all. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He begins to manifest Himself in us. John chapter 14 and verse 21, Jesus said, he who keeps my commandments is the one who loves me. And I and my Father will love him. And then he says, I will manifest myself in him. Who's the one who loves him? The one who keeps his commandments. The one who keeps his commandments. Ezekiel 36, 27, the Bible says, God said, I will put my Spirit upon them and I will cause them to walk in my commandments and keep my statutes. What is God saying? He's telling the children of Israel, I'll put my Spirit within you and I will cause you to. What does the anointing do? The anointing causes me to walk in the ways of God. The anointing causes me to obey the commandments of God. First thing God said through Samuel the prophet, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you'll begin to prophesy. The second thing he said is, you will be turned into another man. What was Samuel telling Saul? He said, you will be turned into another man. What does the anointing do? It turns us into another person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That word new does not mean renovation. It means rebuilding. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, let me tell you, my friend, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, He does not renovate us. He doesn't, you know, take a little bit of the bad things out and, you know, just make us look a little better and change our attitude a little better. No, no, no. The Bible says, the old is gone and the new will come. He is a new creation. If you are in Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Samuel told Saul, you will be turned into another man. I no longer will be able to do the things I used to do before. I no longer am the same old person. I am a new man. Sometimes the enemy comes and reminds us of who we are. He reminds us of our past. You know, when the devil comes and reminds you of your past, you please speak to Mr. Devil and you remind him of his future. Right? We can change our future. But do you know he cannot change his future? He's the liar and he's the father of lies. He wants us to look behind. He wants us to look at our failures. He wants to remind us of our past all the time so that we dwell on our past. But God says, hey, when my anointing comes upon you, you become a new man. Samuel told Saul, when the Spirit of God will come upon you, you will be turned into another man. Another man. Another man. You start thinking different. You begin to act different. You begin to live different. You begin to speak different. Your actions are different. Your words are different. Your attitudes are different. Your lifestyle is different. Everything becomes different. It's the truth. It's the truth. The disciples, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, their life was different. Everything changed. Saul was capturing people of the way and putting them in prison. But on the road to Damascus, when God met him, and when the prophet Agabus came and put his hands on him and prayed over him, the Bible says, you know, scales fell off his eyes. He began to see. And then Agabus prophesied over him and told him what his life was going to be. The life that he lived after receiving the anointing had nothing to do with his past life. The anointed apostles in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they had nothing to do with their past life. Let me tell you, God wants to set us free of the works of the flesh, of our past life. The Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are the workmanship of Christ, created in Him for good works. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He went about doing good. He went about preaching the kingdom. He went about doing whatever God wanted him to do, because God was with him. When God is with you, that anointing is about God being with you. That anointing is about God walking with you, living with you, filling you, empowering you, strengthening you. So that you are no longer the old man, you are the new man. You begin to walk in power. You begin to walk in the likeness of Christ. You begin to step into all that God has for you. Your life is no longer about what is happening around you. Your life is about what is happening in the heavenlies. Paul says we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Colossians 3, the Bible says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated in the heavenlies. God wants to release us from where we are so that we begin to see a beautiful verse. Our dear brother said it today, you know, oh my soul, why are you so downcast within me? Put your hope in the Lord. Psalm 63, the Bible says, you know, David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God, take me beyond myself so that I begin to see life the way you show me. The anointing is about beginning to see life the way Christ sees it. The anointing is about seeing the world Christ sees it. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. With all your heart and, can you say it? Lean not on your own understanding. My friend, it's about Him. When He begins to lead you, you are no longer walking in the understanding. Saul had never known what it is to be a king. The kingdom of Israel had never had a king. He had no idea. You'll be turned into another man. Thirdly, Samuel said, you will do as the occasion demands. What did he say? He'd say, you would do, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will do as the occasion demands. You see, in our lives, we will face many challenges. We will walk through many situations. But I tell you, always there will be a way that God will provide. Always there will be a thought that God will give you. He'll give you the ability to make the right decision, to speak the right word at the right time to the right person, to make the right choice, to turn the right way in every situation of our life. The Holy Spirit will tell us exactly what we need to do. He said, you will do as the occasion demands. And in verse 9, the Bible says, when Saul walked away from David, he had another heart. What did he have? He had another heart. He had another heart. He had another heart. A completely different heart. And you remember when he walked and he saw the school of prophets walking. As soon as he saw them, he began to prophesy. the power of his anointing. Why does God want to fill me with his Holy Spirit in the last of the last days? It's because, number one, I would be released from the natural into the supernatural. Secondly, I will be another man. Not the same man anymore. I'll be the man that God has made me to be. Thirdly, I will do as the occasion demands. Yes, things can happen around the world. But what does he want me to do? I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. I will step into everything that God has for me. I'm just reminded of a verse as I'm talking to you. Habakkuk chapter 2. You know, there are many prophets who are singers that David had set to worship the Lord and to prophesy. But there's one man. Look at this man, Habakkuk. What does he say? He says in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. What is he saying? He's saying, I will stand my watch. I will put myself on the rampart. And I will wait for what God will speak to me. That I will give an answer to him. What is he saying? I want to step into my position. I want to step into my destiny. I want to step into what God has for me. I want to be in that place where I can hear God. I want to be in that place that God would speak to me and I will have a word to answer him. Where I will have a communion with him. I will be able to talk to him and do whatever he asks me to do. God has a position for you and me. God has a plan for you and me. God has a purpose for you and me. Are we walking in it today? My friend, are you walking in it today? Are you walking in the destiny that God has for you? Are you walking in the purpose that God has for you? Are you walking in the fullness of where God wants you to be? Let me tell you, his anointing will draw you into the purpose of God. The anointing will draw you. You can be a failure. Peter was a failure. He denied Jesus 3 times. The disciples were a failure. The Bible says in John chapter 20, they were hiding in a room. You remember? Because of the fear of Jews. They were all in one place, hiding, because they were afraid of the Jews. But what happened to the same people when the Holy Ghost was outpoured upon them? Man, they began to prophesy. They began to be released into the supernatural. They were released. Fear was exchanged with faith. They looked at the Sanhedrin and said, we cannot but speak about Jesus. Whether it be in the prison or outside the prison, they began to praise God. They began to worship God. They began to enter into everything that God had for them because of the anointing upon them. When you and I give ourselves to the anointing, when you and I give ourselves, tell me, my friend, let me tell you, it's not just a feeling, it's God. It's not just a feeling, it's God. When God touches our life, when God fills us with His Spirit, our life will never be the same again. I'm going to finish quickly. But I'm just reminded of this, so I want to quickly share. Many years ago, 95, I was in a Bible school in America. I told the Lord, I said, God, whatever you want is what I want. I said, Lord, I want to sell myself to you. Everything about me is going to be you, God. I want whatever you want. So I was a crazy guy. Really, I was a little crazy. Because I remember... As soon as I went to school, I was a short Bible school for 4 months. First weekend, I went to, if you know Rick Shelton, I went to his church. And I saw people, you know, in revival, Koraba, Sandaraba, singing and dancing and praising God. Now I'm here from India and from a very conservative background. And up in a Methodist church for 26 years of my life. And hallelujah, if you say, everybody look at you. You know, that's the situation. So I am here and I'm seeing people, oh, hallelujah, worshiping God. And I'm like, oh, God, what is this? Man, how they're celebrating and enjoying themselves. And I said, oh, how does this work? So, you know, the conservative me, I still remember I went behind one pillar and then I stood there and I looked everywhere, made sure nobody was looking at me. Then I said, God, I want what they have. So I said, I also did like that. And then, you know, immediately I turned around. I said, is anybody looking at me? I mean, nobody cares what you're doing. Anyway, you know, I was looking around. Then I said, oh, this is nice. How do they do that? How, you know, the Americans do it so nicely. So I said, oh, that's nice. I said, oh, that's another nice step they have. So I also did like that. You know, I found out how they do it. So the first thing that happened to me was when I went back to the school, I went right into my bathroom, put the shutters down, made sure everything was quiet. Then I said, God, halaraba, shataraba, sandaraba, halaraba, sandaraba. I said, God, I want it, God. I said, whatever it is, whether it's like this or whatever, I need it, God. So after that, every time people will worship God, I'll start dancing, hallelujah. Because I was so excited. I said, if that is of you, I need it. Then I saw people falling under the power of God. I said, oh, this is nice. What is this? Something new. I want this also. So when somebody came to pray for me, boom, I'll go. Even before they will lay their hands, I'll be on the floor. And you know, I'll say, oh God, what is this? Sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Whatever it is, I need this, Lord. I don't know how they fall, but I want to fall, you know. I was ready to fall. I tell you, I was hungry. I wanted everything. I told the Lord, I don't want any surprises in heaven, you know. I said, I want to experience heaven on earth. I don't want to end up in heaven and say, oh my God, this is of God? I never knew it. Man, I lost 40 years of my life not doing it. So I wanted everything. And you know, I tell you, we had a Holy Ghost Bible school. I tell you, God was moving every day. So people would be touched by the presence of God. And I said, Lord, what is this new wine? It's a Holy Ghost wine. New wine, Holy Ghost wine. They used to sing, be filled with the Holy Ghost, be filled. Oh, be with the Holy Ghost, be filled. I said, I want it, Lord. What is it? Lord, I want to fill. Lord, my name is Stephen. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit. This Stephen also wants full of the Holy Spirit. I was, you know, man, I tell you, I was hungry for God. And then, you know, they used to sing, get drunk in the Holy Ghost, get drunk. Oh, God, what is it? I want to get drunk, Lord. What is it? I mean, I was open for whatever God had. And I tell you, my friend, I told you yesterday, one evening in one service, God just came through. The power of God hit me. I was sitting in a chair. I suddenly felt the Lord. I felt, ooh, doom. I fell on the floor. I was gone, flat on the floor of my chair. I can hear everybody walking, talking, everything I can hear. But everything inside of me was tingling, you know. And this beautiful feeling. I told the Lord, God, I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, you know, I was even scared to speak in tongues. I was scared to do anything because I didn't want to lose this touch of God. I was on the floor for 6 hours. 6 hours. 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up and nobody was there. Everything was dark. So I got out of the floor, and I have not drunk alcohol, so I didn't know what it was to get really drunk. But, you know, I was walking, and then I'm feeling, what is this feeling, you know? I'm not able to, I mean, I'm little, not very sure. So I was walking around the wall. I said, what is this? Oh, maybe because I was on the floor for a long time. So, you know, I just found my way to my room, and I fell on the bed. And I said, God, please, please, I need this. I need this, Lord. Please, I need this. I went to sleep. Got up the next morning, got out of the bed. I still felt that mighty presence of God all over me. You know, full of the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, I was holding on to the wall. And, you know, I made my, went to the cafeteria. I didn't want anybody to touch me. I didn't want to talk a word. I didn't want to say anything. I was so scared if I speak something, then maybe that feeling will go, you know. So I didn't want to talk to anyone. I went and sat in the cafeteria. All the, you know, the school guys were talking. And then this, one of the teachers, she came and she said, "Oh, look at him. He's so drunk." I said, "Oh," I didn't know what it was. I really didn't know what it was. But I was so full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Then Saturday, we went to Chicago. We drove 4 hours, went to Chicago, and we went to a little meeting, and some crazy things were happening there. So I, you know, whenever God does the real thing, the devil always brings a fake. How many of you remember, know that? When God does the real thing, you know, the anointing is real. The power of God is real. The touch of God is real. The change that God brings is real. What God does is real. Healing is real. Deliverance is real. But the devil always wants to bring a fake. You see? So there was a little fake thing going on. And I told the Lord, "Lord," I said, "no, nobody's touching me, God." And I went and I stood in a place where nobody could touch me. Again, that night, nobody touched me. The power of God hit me. I was on the floor. All that I remembered was I was carried, you know, to my bed. I couldn't even move. So they carried me and they put me on my bed. I slept that night. Got up the next morning. I was still drunk in the Holy Spirit. I went to the church. I heard, but I could, for me, it was an open heaven above me. I tell you, it was heaven on earth. I did not want to lose this. I was so full of God. I tell you, unbelievable. The presence of God was so strong, so strong, so strong. Began to experience it. I began to, you know, worship. I could just worship for hours. I could read the word for hours. I could just sit in the presence of God for hours. I didn't want anybody. I didn't want anybody to talk to me. I didn't want anybody to tell me anything. I didn't need anything. I just wanted to, just leave me alone, man. I'm with God. I just loved His presence. I loved being with Him. Just loved it. Loved it. Loved it. I didn't feel like eating. I didn't want to even, when everybody went for food, I'm full. I was already full. Full of the Holy Ghost. I didn't want anything. I didn't want to eat anything. I wanted this presence. I said, "God, I want this anointing. I want this anointing. I want this anointing. I want this anointing." I felt like a drunken man. I did not understand what it was. It went on for 3-4 days. I still remember somebody was praying for someone a little far away. And here, you know, the Lord is telling me, "Oh, just stand up." So I stood up. Then the Lord said, "Lift your hand." So I lifted my hand. Bam! That person fell down. So I said, "Oh my goodness, what's in my hand?" I said, "No, forget it." I put my hands, I sat down, I said, "Lord, what is this? Oh my goodness, something is happening to me." I knew the power of God was being manifest. And I tell you, my friend, today, my life has never been the same again. I began to understand from Scripture, so powerful. Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, "Do not be drunk in wine, in which is much dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." For the first time, I understood what it meant. What it meant. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, giving thanks in all circumstances. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, that which comes out of you is joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. Peace that passeth all understanding. I began to enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy the presence of God. Then I began to think, "Oh, now I understand what it is." Peter got up and said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose." They were not just speaking in tongues. Probably something more was happening in the room. People thought probably somebody was rolling, somebody was crying, somebody was laughing. Something was happening in that room. He said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the first watch of the day." It's in the morning. Do you know that Jeremiah also experienced it? Do you know that? How many of you want to get drunk in the Holy Ghost? You ask Him. He's the one who has to fill you. Jeremiah 23 and verse 9. The Bible says, "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. And then Jeremiah writes like this. He says, I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. How did Jeremiah feel in the presence of God? When God came through to Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, I was like a drunken man, like a man whom wine had overcome. Oh, I began to understand, my God, that feeling is real. It's a biblical thing. I said, I wanted God. I wanted God. And I want to tell you, all these years, I've asked for him for the same thing. I said, God, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says Stephen saw the glory of God. You know, when everybody saw, when everybody were throwing stones at him, when everybody were willing to kill him, he just saw the glory of God. My friend, God wants to show himself to you. Though we live in the world, God wants you to live the way he wants you to live. As an overcomer. As an overcomer. As one who will walk in his power. As one who would be led by him. As one who would be able to speak to you, lead you, guide you, be there for you. Now do you understand the psalmist saying? One day in his courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. One thing have I desired, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of God. I want to be there. He was simply saying, that glory, that Shekinah glory is behind the veil. I want to find myself before the veil. It's there. Where do you want to be, my friend, today? Let me tell you, I'm not against strategies, but the best strategy is the Holy Ghost. He has the key to turn Europe around. He has the way. He has the plan. He has everything. He knows exactly what to do. He's ready to do it. And if we are filled with him, he'll just tell us, he's just lead us. That's all. Just like Moses. God told Moses, just do what I say. I'll speak to you in the night. Go and speak it in the morning. That's it. You don't need the whole plan. Just go and say, tomorrow frogs. There'll be frogs. Then say lies. There's going to be lies. Then say this, river is going to be turned into blood. Turns into blood. Don't ask me why. Ask me why. But you say one thing. Let my people go. Are you ready to look at the powers of the enemy today and tell them, let the people go? They need to know the Savior. The powers of alcohol, drugs, Satanism, terrorism, all kinds of powers are around you. The pharaohs of this age, my friend, is the anointing. It's the visitation of God that you begin to speak what God tells you. You tell the powers of the enemy, let the people go. They are destined to go to heaven. They were created for my master. Let the people go. Let the people go. Amen. Amen. That revival is coming upon Europe. The powers of darkness will tremble at the power of God. The river will begin to flow because of what God will do in your life and my life. My friend, the secret is your life and my life. When we begin to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, when we begin to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, you will find your destiny in him. You will find God's plan for your life in him. You will begin to have a revelation of what he has for your life. You're not going to turn the world around. He's going to turn the world around through your life. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him. The river is him. The river will flow through you, but it's him. He's the one who's going to turn Europe around. He's the one who's going to turn the nations around. He's the one who's going to bring a mighty outpouring. But he's going to use you as a channel. He's going to use you as a weapon. He's going to use you as a sharp threshing sledge. He's going to use you as the voice of God. Your words will be like fire. You begin to speak the oracles of God. You will begin to declare a thing and it shall come to pass. Not because you speak it, but it's because of the Spirit of God who will speak through you. You become the mouthpiece of God. You become the instrument that God has. In such a time as this, my friend, now is the time. Now is the time that God is going to move upon Europe. It's coming. That river is coming. Let me tell you, my friend, what he does in you is going to turn nations around. What he does in you is going to turn continents around. What he does in you is going to turn the nation of England around. It will never be the same again. It will never be the same again. Smith Wigglesworth was a great man, but the greatness was the one who lived inside of him. Hallelujah. I tell you, they were great people of God. You know why they were great? Because of the great God that lived inside of them. The great God wants to come inside of you right now. He wants to pour his anointing upon you right now. He wants to empower you by his Spirit right now. Hallelujah. If you hunger, if you thirst, if you tell the Lord today, God, I'm willing to set aside my life. I'm willing to set aside the agenda of my life. I'm going to make you the very agenda of life, God. I don't want you to be one of the agendas of my life. I want you to become the very agenda of my life. God, I'm willing to let go. I'm going to willing to let go of my plans, my purposes, Lord, the things that I want to become in life, and I want to grab a hold of what you want to do in my life. Let me tell you, my friend, you are the one God is looking for. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. I tell you, he takes the poor things, those insignificant things, and he takes you and makes you sit among princes. He took a shepherd and made him a king. He took a captive and made him a prime minister. He took a servant and made him a prime minister. He wants to qualify you for the great move that is coming. Are you ready? This is the moment. My friend, this is the moment. Let me tell you, he will touch you today. I know he's going to touch you right now. But it's about you and your God. It's about what he wants to do in you. Are you ready to open up to him? Are you ready to allow him to touch you? Are you willing to allow him to come and minister to you? Pour out his anointing in the way he wants. Are you willing to have his way? Allow him to have his way in you. That you will become the very design, the very plan, the very purpose, he will be able to put you in the exact position that he wants you to be. He will use you just exactly the way he wants to use you. Right now. Right now. God wants to come. Reach out and touch us. There's a mighty anointing flowing in this place. There's a mighty anointing.